8:07 this morning. We'll track down your weather forecast. Right now, Ken Tesey joining us this morning, Senior VP at MinStar Bank and Farm Management Analyst as well out of Lake Crystal. Ken, how are you doing this morning?
Well, doing fantastic. We got a nice sunny day here, no threat of rain. That's a plus here in southern Minnesota this year.
You know, it's hard to believe, you know, we're in July, but a lot of folks are saying, hey, rain, let's stop here for a little while.
Yeah, we've just, you know, there's some areas you get in parts of the south central and southwest Minnesota where basically since mid-April, farmers have had less than 10 days of that they can actually do field work, and so they've had to try and get the crop planted and do all the other practices, weed control, whatever they have to do in that time frame. So it's been a real challenge out there.
I know you mentioned off the air we're talking growing degree days. I'm up to, let's see here, 989 the same day a year ago as 849. So we're getting some of these heat units here as we need this year too, Kent.
Yeah, we really are, you know, and that's been the plus. I mean, the crop that is still viable is doing quite well down here as well. The unfortunate thing is right next to it, or even in the same field, especially the corn has really been struggling. We've just had saturated soils for so long that the crop is actually almost suffocating from lack of oxygen. It's kind of the same concept. If you take house plants and you overwater them, they eventually just start to die from too much water, and that's kind of what's been happening in some of our fields here, especially corn fields, though probably the worst. That's in addition to the standing water that's drowned it out big areas of some fields.
Ken, talking a few issues, you're so in-depth into agriculture and what's going on. And first of all, I know today, just watching some of the markets, we're not seeing a whole lot going on. It's the whole trade situation and additional tariffs put in place. And boy, agriculture has been at the tip of the spear. That's the biggest analogy I've been hearing in this whole situation, Kent.
Well, it really is, especially on the China trade situation, which some of the tariffs on both sides go into place today. What we've seen is, you know, like you say, today the market not showing much action so far, but I think some of that's been built in the soybean market. I mean, in the last 6 weeks, we've seen a drop of November soybean futures of about $1.90 a bushel, and most of that's been passed on to the local level as well. So my guess is a lot of that has already been played in by the market, and hopefully we'll, you know, I guess the best hope we got is that they reach some resolution and we are able to get some of that back. Now, normally we do see a drop in the market midsummer, corn and soybean market, but usually that happens more in the July-August period up to harvest time, and this year we really started in late May with both corn and soybeans with a drop in the market. And in addition to the China trade, of course, we also have the NAFTA agreements. And not only soybeans, but the pork market is really being affected by both China and the Mexico trade situation and the added tariffs and dairy and beef as well. So it's definitely affecting a lot of aspects of agriculture.
I know my cheeks kind of turn red when I have to read the Class 3 futures in the milk. And then you look at lean hogs and you got $76 hogs for August, and then you look at October, you're at $59. So, I mean, to be in the middle of that, like you said, and kind of taking the brunt, it's a tough pill to swallow.
It really is. And, you know, I mean, if you kind of turn back the clock back to January, February, there was actually a bit of optimism in agriculture, I think. We had some prices that, not that they were great, but at least folks could cash flow and kind of hold things together, and you know, that's just rapidly deteriorated here. And then in the case of southern Minnesota, you throw in some weather factors, and it's setting up to be a real difficult financial year for a lot of farm families.
Ken Tesey joining us this morning here on Chasm Radio. And in Kent, as well, in your newsletter you put out, you really mapped it out when it comes to the farm bill, where the Senate and the House version were. We're now at the conference point here where folks are going to get back to D.C. next week and, you know, kind of iron out these differences. I think when you take a step back, I think we're pretty fortunate to be at this step where we are right now, Kent.
Well, we really are. You know, if you look back a few months ago, it looked like we were in for a long haul, that the chances of getting a farm bill completed here in 2018 looked pretty slim. And now we're at a point where both the House and Senate have passed farm bills. Now, the two bills are fairly similar in some ways and a wide apart in other ways. The Senate bill passed by a wide margin, one of the widest margins ever for a farm bill, on bipartisan support with both parties supporting it. The House bill, on the other hand, passed by two votes and very partisan, with every Democrat voting against it along with 20 Republicans. And on the commodity programs, there is some minor differences. Most of them, I think, can be worked out. Some on qualifications, adjusted gross income limits, some differences on conservation, on the conservation security program. The House bill eliminates it and rolls it in with EQIP. Senate bill keeps it. But the big difference, and where the sticking point's going to come, is in the food and nutrition title of the farm bill. And the Senate bill basically keeps the requirements and most provisions the same. The House bill wants to put in 20-hour-a-week work requirements and training requirements for qualified adults to receive the food and nutrition, the SNAP benefits, food stamps. And that's going to be a real sticking point when they get to conference committee and ultimately have to go back and repass this bill in the House and Senate, depending on what that final compromise bill has in it.
Now, there seems to be overall support for crop insurance, though, on both sides, right?
Right. The crop insurance program, neither side put any new provisions in there. They didn't put any means testing in, which was a big thing. In other words, if adjusted gross income or maximum levels that you can get of federal premium support. There was some talk about trying to eliminate the harvest price option. None of that got in. Obviously, there could still be some attempts to include some of that in the final bill, but at this point, it looks good. Now, the current farm bill expires September of this year, so right now, we do not have a farm bill in place for the 2019 crop. So if they pass this either before the midterm elections or shortly after, likely we would have the new farm bill in place. Otherwise, we could be looking at an extension. And if we do have an extension, obviously that could end up being costly to especially corn producers, because my guess is most farmers, because of the low prices, are going to look at the price loss coverage option of the farm bill instead of the ag risk coverage program, which is yield and price. So not having that ability to switch programs could, if prices stay low, could be costly to farmers.
Ken, finally as well, you are the forum coordinator at Farm Fest, which is just a few weeks away here in Gilfillan Estate. And boy, oh boy, looking at that schedule, it is just plump full of politics and farm issues. It's going to be a busy 3 days.
Well, it really is, Joe. August 7th, 8th, and 9th is Farm Fest down near Redwood Falls at the Gilfillan Estate. And we've been doing candidate forums at Farm Fest since 1990. And because of the special U.S. Senate election when Senator Franken resigned, we'll have four candidate forums this year. We'll have two U.S. Senate candidate forums on Tuesday and Thursday morning at 10:30. And then the middle day, on the 8th, we have the Minnesota Governor Candidate Forum. All five candidates for governor will be there. And the first afternoon, we also have a Congressional Candidate Forum with all major candidates from greater Minnesota taking part in that from four congressional districts. So a lot of candidate forums. And then we kind of filter it in with forums on world trade, on water quality issues, on some of the financial struggles that family farmers are facing, as well as a couple marketing forums. So a great setup of forums at FarmFest this year.
Well, Ken, we appreciate your time this morning. We'll track you down here in the weeks to come, get more information on that. And once again, thanks for joining us, and have yourself a good day and a good weekend, okay?
Sounds great.
All right, Ken Tesey joining us this morning here on Chasm Radio. And yeah, Kent is just a great resource. A lot of information As he's Senior VP at Minstar Bank and Farm Management Analyst in Lake Crystal, Minnesota. And as I mentioned, if you've ever been to Farm Fest, you're in the Forum Building, there's any forums going on, yeah, Ken's the guy at the microphone or holding up the time cards, and just great knowledge and info when it comes to agriculture, just a great resource. Kent Tesey joining us this morning.